No! No! God, please! No! Swear words! Locked On Guardians, bonus episode.
You are Locked On Guardians, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Guardians, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. There's Justin. I'm Jeff. Life sucks. It could be worse. I want to thank you for making Locked On Guardians your first and maybe second listen, since we're doubling up today with our crossover plus this. And I also want to say we definitely have your team covered every day because we're double dipping today. So make sure you check out both episodes. Yeah, it's...
Begrudgingly, no.
Yeah,
we like doing this, but we don't like doing this.
No, we don't like doing this. We'd rather it be like, hey, a fun trade happened. We didn't talk enough about Steven Hajar, or we didn't, a prospect thing called on, but emergency episode. This is less than ideal. We're going to kind of talk about the injury here in the first segment. This is only going to be a quicker. That's a podcast
quickie.
I don't know how I feel about that. But we're going to do, it's going to be two segments. We're going to talk about, the injury, kind of our general feel. You can probably tell a little bit in our inflection, and then how they recover from this. I keep going back to what we talked about with Brandon Warner over at Locked On Twins. It's like the one thing that Cleveland had their big advantage on is their top two beat everyone else's top two in this division. And you can maybe debate it with the White Sox, but Giolito was not the same guy last year. If he bounces back, yeah, the White Sox are probably better. If he's the guy from 2 years ago, but we haven't seen that guy last year. So it's like, a teres major strain. Justin, you're our doctor. Explain this one.
Oh, God, that's bad for a lot of people if I'm a doctor. I'm so sorry. If you ever seek my medical advice, please don't sue me.
Spray some Windex on it. It'll be better, right?
I saw earlier today. Don't drink Windex. I don't know. Maybe drink Windex.
Let's not give that advice to anyone. Don't. It's bad for you. I am not going to be COA. I'm not held responsible for that statement. I had nothing to do with that. I'm saying no this whole time. Do not do that. Right. Just like I would advise you to never let Josh Naylor hit against left-handed pitching. This is that level of warning. Do not do that. Do not let Josh Naylor hit left-handed pitching. Do not put Windex on any part of your body.
We are not responsible for what you do with your household chemicals or any other sharp objects or on the ledge of anything. I saw a tweet from Mandy Bell this morning. It said that McKenzie felt what said was normal tightness in his tricep and back of shoulder while he was warming up. And then a weird sensation happened after his first inning, and then he left the game. When I saw, I was like, okay, first of all, I'm not an athlete, shockingly. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an athlete. I'm just a guy who talks a lot of nonsense on this podcast. When he said normal tightness, I'm like, well, what is normal tightness? Like, is that thing most pitchers have? Not that I've ever heard of. But instantly my mind did go to teres major. And I said, that's what I said. I was like, it's probably a teres major if he's got upper back issues, and he's had a back issue in the past in the minors.
That's what caused him to start that year late, I believe, was a back injury. And then it was also the back injury that caused that 1 year to end. Like, the back has been where he has his issue. Like, I would almost rather be an arm issue.
Back, I think.
Yeah, but still, it's been back for both.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that tweet, and I was like, that's where my mind first went. And then, yeah, tonight they confirmed strain of the right teres major muscle. Shut down for 2 weeks. He'll be sidelined for up to 8 weeks overall. So he's going to be shut down for 2 weeks, got to build back up, and he's got to get back into game shape. Hopefully it's just 8 weeks. No, that would put him back on track to come back in June, or maybe late May.
Do you consider putting him on the 60-day disabled list? 8 weeks would be 56 days.
Yeah, because I would probably be conservative with him. I don't know. I think they'd have to decide real quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, they'd have to decide things real quick, but Yeah, I'm not surprised by the injury. Just when from what we heard initially from that update this morning from Mandy Bell and the team. It's so weird. Like, this team has had a lot of Terrace Major issues. Like, you go back to like Mike Clevenger, and I think Emmanuel Classe in 2020, before the pandemic shut the season down, he got suspended. He was going to miss the first part of the year with a Terrace Major issue. Yeah. Yeah, who else had it? It was Mike Clevenger. It was Emmanuel Classe.
Big velocity.
Cody Morris. Yeah. Morris had a Terrace Major issue at one point. It just seems like this organization's had.
It's almost like when you throw really hard, it affects all the muscles in your body.
It does, but like maybe we need to pay better attention to other teams. But like, do you recall other teams seeing Terrace Major issues?
Makes you wonder when they get these guys and they, you know, stretch them out and they work with them on various things. If adding that velocity is sometimes, you know, this is something that affects them. I don't know. I'm just shooting from the hip with that idea. But yeah, it does feel like we often hear about forearm tightness. And this started out as forearm tightness, and now it's a back injury.
Well, they never said forearm. It was just arm tightness. No one said forearm.
Didn't Tito say like?
He said tricep.
Tricep. Okay.
He said tricep, and tricep would be, you know, back of your arm, upper back. Yeah, that could be where it goes to. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, you know, correlation here doesn't equal causation, but it just feels like or confirmation bias, I should say, one of those buzzwords. It just feels like we've seen a lot of Terrace Major issues in the last like 3 or 4 years, and I don't know what it is. They have to figure that out. But I mean, on the grand scheme of things, it isn't the worst thing that could happen, but the problem is, you know, early season, you've got the Mariners who are pretty good. You've got the Yankees who are the Yankees. And then that's really it for April. Everybody else stinks that they're facing in April, which is good. And you got the Yankees again in May. You got the Twins. And then you got the Tigers who stink. You got the Angels who are
Are losing Severino again, right? Like, so
the Yankees, I mean, you or I could go to New York tomorrow and try out for their pitching rotation. They have Garrett Cole and I think Clark Schmidt is their opening day two starters, and after that they don't know. So you and I could be starting a game for the Yankees soon, which is good news for Cleveland.
I got some major separation between my fastball and my changeup. My changeup is about 24 miles an hour.
I know this is going to be a controversial question because a lot of people will say no, or they'll say it's a terrible movie, and they're going to say I wouldn't watch that crap. Did you ever see Major League 3?
Is that the bat? No, I never watched Back to the Minors because it wasn't about the Indians.
I'll just explain it. It was the Twins. I'll just explain it. They had like a
Scott Bakula, right?
Yeah, Scott Bakula was the manager. There was this guy on the Salt Lake Bees who was like, I don't know, in his mid-30s. They called him Doc. He wore glasses, and he was like a pitching mind guru. And they brought him into the game, and they were like, do you want me to go with the off-speed stuff? And they're like, do you have anything else? And he's like, no. The guy only threw like 80, 85 miles an hour max. Like, it was all off-speed. And they brought him to the one game, and they in the kitchen, and the manager was like, or he asked the manager, do you want me to go with the off-speed stuff? And Scott Bakula was like, do you have anything else? And he said, no. That would be me. They bring me in. It's all off-speed. They got one speed, and it's slow. What, running, pitching, all the speeds are slow. I don't know. You have the Mariners and the Yankees, but the Yankees rotation is, you know, all hurt.
Beat up.
You've got the Twins. You got the Twins early on. You got the White Sox in May as well, for six games. And you got the Mets. Yikes. The Cardinals. Yikes. The Orioles. They could be tough. It's not. It's a kind of a mixed schedule. You have a lot of cream puffs, and you got a lot of a couple of tough matchups. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they do.
How concerned are you about this injury in general? Like, do you think this could lead to a bigger issue? Do you think this could be something that needs surgery? Could it affect his whole body? Like I talked about on yesterday's show, like I kind of took away my concerns about injury because he had pretty much been healthy outside of those minor league years where there were those injuries. Like, he had been fine since then. I'm not changing that tune, but like, I am mildly concerned right now for this year.
For this year, yeah, I mean, because I don't know, it's one of those things that you're afraid is going to linger, right? But
yes.
I think the good news is, because Cleveland has dealt with it so much, unfortunately, I think they know how to handle it. I guess, as far as recovery. And the other thing I would say too is we've seen guys come back and pitch just fine. Like, you know, I know Mike Clevenger hasn't exactly been great since he came back when they traded him, but he has come back and he has pitched, and he has a lot
of wear and tear on that body too. Like, I mean,
yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's not that it wasn't just that injury for him.
No, he's had other issues.
Had the knee issue. Had Tommy John twice. So, like, Class A had it. I know people kind of forget about that because he didn't pitch.
Yeah, because he got busted for steroids,
PEDs, right?
But trying to recover from that injury quicker.
Yeah, he was going to miss part of the season anyway. If they had a full season, he was suspended for the shortened season. But so he's been just fine since he came back. So, like, I do have some confidence that A, this team unfortunately has seen this before and knows how to handle it, and B, we have examples of guys who have come back and been just fine. So I would say I'm about. I would say give me a 6 out of 10. Like, I'm not over the edge concerned, but I'm also, it's not a long-term concern, but it is a short-term concern.
Yeah. I would have put it at a 6 as well. And now I feel like I have to say a 7 just to be different, but cause it's not quite a 5, but like
contrarian.
Yeah. You know, I gotta be a little bit different. My old co-host is at an 8, if you couldn't tell there. But he overreacts to everything. So speaking of overreacting,
I think cats have 9 lives.
Yeah, I mean he's just an old man. Anyways, he doesn't know. He wants me to talk about pitcher wins right now, and I told him no, we're not getting into that. But we will come back and talk about what are the options for this team in a moment. But first, let's take a moment and talk about one of our fantastic sponsors. Maybe my favorite sponsor right now, and that is our good friends over at Ultimate GM, which, listen, I'm on spring break. My son had like a 30-minute nap today when I was home. Not ideal, but, you know, what did I do in those 30 minutes? I played like 2 seasons of Ultimate Pro Baseball GM. I'm getting close to finishing off another season. Like I said, I'm going to win all of the money. I saw one of our commenters said we got him hooked. Shout out to Ryan. I need to sit down and either A, make an FAQ video for people. Let me know in the comments below if you want that. Or I need to just make a Locked On Guardians League. So we'll see who else wants to. My one thing with that is I have to see if I can be in 2 leagues at once, because I also still want to make multiple seasons to win all the prize money. But go check out Ultimate Pro Baseball GM. I am still loving it. I'm having fun with it. It's so easy to get caught in the turn and burn, though. It is something you can play for 5 minutes, but it's often that thing. You're like, I'll play for 5 minutes. You look up, it's an hour and a half later. And, you know, right now, remember, that is Ultimate Baseball GM. Our listeners, when they use the promo code Locked On in the shop, get 100% free bonus. So go check that out today, Ultimate Pro Baseball GM. So they're going to, like, sign Trevor Bauer. I'm kidding. I know that was.
He has always wanted to play from Japan. You can't get him back. Okay.
They're going to sign. I don't even know who's like the top starter left available out there anymore. But listen, I know the default is Connor Pilkington for most of our views on this. My one take is in this. Well, I have multiple takes. What am I saying? But my view on this is if he's going to be gone for a while, juggling, it seems like we know what Pilkington is, and he's fine as a 6 starter depth arm. It might be the perfect time to see what you have in Curry. It might be the perfect time to maybe you want Logan Allen to get his feet wet after the bad experience last year in AAA. But I also wouldn't be opposed to seeing Logan Allen. You know, I know everyone jumps to Bibee and Williams, but again, like, you got Logan Allen sitting there, who's also a top 100 prospect most places, who has to be added to the 40 man at the end of the year, who being a lefty gives you a different look. I think there's choices here. I don't think it's just, I think it's going to be Pilkington to start, but I think this might be an opportunity to see what a young player can step up and do. And again, I think if Logan Allen pitches well in that first month, if it takes, you know, 8 weeks, I wouldn't be opposed to, you know, half a season of starts, because you have to add Logan Allen to your 40 man at the end of the year. You don't have to add Williams or Bibee. And you know, it's the same thing. Like, if Cantillo can come out and be healthy and pitch well, the biggest stink on this to me is, yes, losing McKenzie, but it's since Cantillo was hurt last year, he isn't ready to go. Because Morris can't stay healthy, he isn't ready to go. because Espino can't stay healthy. He isn't ready to go. They're weirdly in a situation where they're down kind of like four options at starting pitching because of health. So I think I personally, even as someone who's a big Connor Pilkington fan, would say I'd rather see like Curry or Gattis or someone. They're putting Gattis in the pen. I think that's his future role. But let's see what these other arms can do, because I think we know what Pilk is, but I think it will be Pilk.
Yeah, like I said this yesterday, or I said this on Monday, like if it's a short-term issue, not a big deal to go to Pilkington, because you know, couple to three starts, you just throw them out there, you get McKenzie back, and you're fine. If it's a longer-term issue, you have to kind of consider other options upside-wise, I think, because you do need to get a look at who's coming. I guess it really depends on how long he's going to miss. They're talking about 8 weeks here, so 8 weeks, that's what? That's
56 days.
Well, I'm just trying to think starts wise. What is that? It's one,
it'd be about 9 to 10, maybe 8, 6, 7.
I would guess eight. I would say 8 or 9 starts. Yeah. So that's pretty significant. I don't know where Gattis is at pitch wise. I know he 355 pitches, I think, his last outing in spring training. You could move him to that role, but I hate to do that to him because.
Yes.
You told him, hey, you're going to be in the bullpen to start the year, and all of a sudden you're like, guess what, you're not. And that's not a guy who's had a lot of success at the major league level. If Gattis, like, okay, if it was Eli Morgan, I'd feel a little bit better about it, because Eli Morgan has started in the major leagues before a little more and has had some success. I really don't want to shake the tree too much on Gattis, because I think you want to help him. I don't think that's a productive way to get Gattis' feet wet in the big leagues. You know, those two starts he had last year were already disaster as it was. And now he's pitching out. He could be pitching out of the bullpen for the first time in his career. I think that's a little bit too jarring. You want to be careful about how you start the season for him. You don't want to rattle. I mean, I'm not saying Gattis couldn't handle it, or he's, you know, soft or anything. I'm not like that. I'm just saying the one thing Francona and this organization always say, and this is why I think it's a good idea, they always try to get these guys in the best position they can to be successful and help the team win. And not shake their confidence and not put them in a bad spot. I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't be a bad spot for Gattis. My feeling though would be, as an outside observer, that it would be kind of shaking things a little too much up early on with Gattis and moving him to the rotation after winning a bullpen spot last minute, changing that up. Pilkington is a safe option. Like he's a five and fly guy. He will probably give you 5 innings, allow 3 or 4 runs, and you hope that's as bad as it gets, and maybe anything better is an absolute bonus. And that's fine for a month. I think maybe to me it makes sense to do that for the first month, because Curry doesn't have a lot of experience at AAA. His starts at the major league level last year weren't great either.
Yeah.
Pilkington at least has had some good major league success, and he's got the most track record so far. This is the problem with their pitching staff right now, right? Is that, yes, they have interesting pitchers coming prospect wise that we feel very strongly about that are good, but they're so inexperienced, and Morris is hurt. That's a problem. They are not going to throw Cantillo into the fire early on. They're going to be careful with him, with his injury history, and he hasn't even pitched above double A yet. And, you know, Pilkington hadn't pitched above double A at this time last year either. I don't know. I would go with Pilkington for the month of April. Let Gattis go to the bullpen, have Curry start in the minors, see how he gets his season off to start there. And then when you get into May, see where Curry is, see where Allen is, see where Cantillo is, I guess. Go from there. I don't want to say you're wasting months of April. I'm like, with Pilkington. Pilkington is fine. Like, he's not, you know, is he better than Plesac? I don't know that he's better than Plesac. He's probably on par in terms of 5-6 starters. Like, he's better than Adam Plutko, right? Like, no disrespect to Adam Plutko, but I'd probably take Pilkington over Plutko, I think.
Could I throw out a hidden blessing in this? So it's early, and let's say McKenzie comes back totally fine. Maybe this audition You know, maybe Cantillo gets an opportunity for a month. Maybe it's Logan Allen. Maybe it's Curry. I agree with you. I don't like the idea of jerking around Gattis. Maybe it's Pilkington himself. Maybe he is awesome. Maybe one of these guys, like if Savale gets hurt again, which is feels inevitable, if Plesak continues his downward spiral, like this might make it so then when it's time for McKenzie to come back, like if Plesak isn't working or if Savale is hurt, then you've figured out your depth in the early part of the year. Whereas you pointed out, this is not exactly the murderer's row early on. So, I mean, there's some tough teams, but there's also some beat up teams. So maybe there's a hidden blessing. Maybe I'm just always trying to look on the bright side of life. For people listening.
I don't think you're wrong. Like, it would be nice to see some of these other guys. Like, the guys you want to see, though, to me are Cantillo and Allen and eventually Bybee. And I mean, it'd be great to see Williams and Espino too, but we know Espino's hurt, and Williams, they're not going to add both Williams and Bybee this year because of a 40-man situation. But it'd be great to me. Like, I mean, okay, get Cantillo and Allen and Curry all, you know, I just think that if you want to get the best out of them, I don't think it's April, especially Cantillo. And I don't think, yeah. I mean, it's either Gattis, it's Curry, or it's Pilkington. It's one of those three. I honestly think all three of them have similar upside as starters. Maybe Curry and Pilkington are a little above Gattis as starters for me. I don't know. I just the play it safe route, I think, is Pilkington for April. Let's see how Curry, Cantillo, and everybody else at AAA settles in. And if you feel like whichever of those guys looks the most ready, let's see what happens in May with that. And let's see where Pilkington's at. Let's see how McKenzie's recovery is going. Cause like, you know, if McKenzie comes back to like the second to last week of May, then I don't know, maybe it's not as big a deal, but if it's going to linger, it's going to be an issue. Then yeah, you got to go to one of your prospects. I mean, all this really points to is that it's more likely we see Bybee this year than we don't. I'm starting to like, I think as much as we've been on that train so far this year about Bybee's going to pitch, Bybee's going to be up this year because they really like him and they were quote unquote hiding him from Tito in spring training, as Andre said, and we even thought that would be true. Now that this has happened, and like you said, the inevitable injury to Savale, and who knows what happened to Plesak, like I'm really starting to shift that meter over on Bybee. Like I might have been 50-50 before. I think I'm more like 60-40 before that he makes his major league debut this year, based on this. But
no, I would love to hear personally if they have had like what could be a real red flag with this, and it might seem crazy early to do it, but they seem to really believe in him. I would love to know if there was any attempt to like do a pre-extension with him, because then they don't have to worry anymore, right? Like if they did some kind of 8-year contract, it's like, here you go, and we can move on and have no concern. I know it's not what they've ever done, but with one of these arms it might make sense. And I agree with you, like the we're not messing around approach is be like, okay, Bybee, it's your spot. You pull a Bieber with him, just continue in that similar path that he has been on and see where it goes from there.
I mean, hey, look, they could have a guy in spring training like, man, you earned it, you pitched well. But like, look, Bybee and Williams didn't pitch in big league games. I'd be surprised if they did that. Curry pitched okay in spring. I mean, Gattis pitched really great in spring and he earned a bullpen spot, but like we both agree, it doesn't make sense to kind of to mess with him early on. I just think they have to, whatever they have to do, whatever sets them up for success. And they need to figure out the short term and long term. Like that's the hard part here is like, you don't want to punt April because like we always say, you can't win a division in April, but you can sure lose it. Right. And I don't know if, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, at least 5 McKenzie starts in April. Is 5 McKenzie starts lost in April enough to cost them the division? I don't think so. But their pitching depth, as far as experience goes, is thin enough to where I feel like they really needed those wins from when you get starts from Bieber and McKenzie. Like you needed to win those games, not necessarily need, you know, to decide things by pitcher win, but like those are, if you're getting 5 starts in a month from Bieber and McKenzie, that's 10 starts. Those, like you need to win like 8 of those games, right? And because of your pitching rotation is a little bit shaky, just to be safe to keep yourself off to a good start in April. And now they need to win all of Bieber's starts in April, I feel like. And I don't know. Savali pitched really, I mean, Savali and Quantrill both become really important to this team really quickly, but I don't know. Like, if you put Pilkington in four times in April or five times in April, so instead of winning, you know, four of the five McKenzie starts, do you win three of five from Pilkington? Do you win two of five? Is that enough to survive April? I just don't think that. I think it's the safest option. I know people are going to want to say they want to see guys' prospects, and I do too. But I think the safest option to get you through April without costing yourself too much is Pilkington. Like I said, reassess in May where everybody's at. Reassess how he's done. Reassess how much longer is this going to be for McKenzie. How did Logan Allen look in April? How did Joey Cantillo look in April? I mean, Logan Allen, I actually feel like they would be more likely to turn to Logan Allen than they would Joey Cantillo just because of Cantillo's injury history. And they got to put Allen on the 40. So like if they decide in May, we need to go with one of the prospects because this isn't working and McKenzie's going to be out, I think it's Allen. But it's all going to depend on who they feel like is the most ready for it at the end of the month if they do it that way. I just don't see them turning to anybody else besides Pilkington right now. I know that's not the fun answer, but to me, that is the safest bet in April, given who has the experience on this roster.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think it's probably going to be Pilk. And then, like I said, I think we'll have to kind of wait and see. That may not be what everyone wants to hear. We've almost gone full episode here, so I'm just going to chop us. I think we've attached it as far as we can go. Yeah. But, you know, we will have this covered as we always do. Thank you for listening, rating, reviewing, downloading a bonus episode, too. It helps. We're slipping a little in the iTunes, so make sure you're downloading every day.
Use a new review.
Leave a review helps as well. But make sure you do the daily downloads. We should strongly be in the top 10 Locked On Baseball podcasts. That's where we've lived most of the time. So make sure you do your part. If you watch on YouTube, it also helps us if you just download it and then delete it.
Tell a friend.
But thank you all, and go Guardians, go.